How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is? What time it is? What time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
Knowledge is your birthright. Every human being should be gifted with the right to know self and the environment and the universe into which God gave us birth and life.
For us to come out of our mother's wombs and be 20 years old, 30 years old, not able to read. Victims now of where we place our ears. Who do you listen to?
Listen up. Listen up.
How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
Listen up, here, your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, we got a power-packed show for you. We're going to kick off the conversation at first starting giving you an update about the latest developments in the HBCU Matters Initiative. They had a big hearing that came up this past week, and we'll give you the update about what happened and how it's preparing for the HBCU Night in Annapolis. Also, we'll be talking to our sister, who is an activist. She's of the Black and Native American community, Sister Queen Najdaha, to give us an update about the Native Americans March on Washington that happened today. So we'll get some insight from her. Plus, she can give us some insight about the Day Without Women and how that turned out all across the country. And then later, we'll talk to one of our ladies of Listen Up, as she introduces her new segment, For Women, By Women, with Neera Muhammad, as she talks with Dr. Hollins about what it means to be a woman historically and in the present day. We'll have that conversation with Neera Muhammad in a little bit. And then later on, we'll also be checking in with Hollywood Danny to give us the latest on entertainment news, Chance the Rapper, Get Out movie. Oh man, so much to talk about. We'll hear a little bit from Hollywood Danny. And then I got you for the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report, so stay tuned. It's a big, big show that's happening at the Single Carrot Theater you do not want to miss. So all of that on tonight's edition of Listen Up, here your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and the next generation.
Acid rapper, soccer hacky sacker, cocky khaki jacket jacker, slap happy slapper, whoop, whoop, a rocky rocket launcher, shake that laffy taffy, jolly raunchy rapper, dang dang dang, skeet skeet skeet, she do that thing, the three retweets, the album feel like 92,
Now take that bumpy heat, 3-peat, jazz or acid, cruising on that. Ask Joseph about my deal, he look back, say, hell yeah, let's see. This my favorite song, you just don't know the words, but I still f*** with you, you just ain't never heard. It go like count that stack, pop that captain down that jack, all my looking shit, that's it, and all my ladies mouth that bitch. This my jam, this my jam, this my jam, this my jam, about that jam, about that jam, about that jam, about that jam. This my jam, this my jam, this my jam, this my jam, about that jam, about that jam, about that jam, about that jam. Young, rascal flat, young and kid, could rap. Call the faculty, tobacco pack and acrobat. Back to back, packing back, back and forth with fits of jack and force. Now back to pack on hands with young Cletus to pack my back.
All right, peace and welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org, the voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. Tonight, we're going to kick off the conversation talking about the latest that's been happening with this whole controversy around HBCUs. And to give us a little bit of insight is a student leader. He is an alumni of Bowie State University, which is a major HBCU here in the state of Maryland, to give us some analysis about what has happened at their hearing this past Tuesday night in Annapolis. So we want to welcome back to the program our big brother, Brother DeJuan Patterson. Peace and blessings, Brother DeJuan. How are you, sir?
Peace and blessings, brother. All righty. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're good. We're good. You know, we got a few minutes with you, Brother DeJuan, but we wanted to give you a chance to talk about what has already happened over this past week, because the last time you were on the show, you were giving us a synopsis about the rally that was happening in the city. But then you also talked about on March the 7th, there would be a hearing down in Annapolis. What has happened in that hearing, and what has happened since then?
Yes, since then we organized, got some students down in Annapolis to attend the Senate bill hearing for 7-12, which was introduced by Senator Joan Carter Conway, which had a few co-sponsors right then and there. It was being held inside the Budget and Taxation Committee down in Annapolis, and we had over 50 students packed the room from Bowie State alone. So we had some people from Morgan, some people from Coppin, from Alumni Association, and advocates for the HBCU as well. We packed the room out. We had advocates do a testimony. Joan Carter Conway did a testimony in which she opened up the hearing, and she's telling that she'd been putting forth this bill since Governor Ehrlich was in office. And it got past the House and went into the Senate, but then Ehrlich, he vetoed it, rejected, pushed it down, so she's been reintroducing it until we gained some traction. We had over 6 student leaders from across the HBCUs, including the brother Rashad Staten, give testimony on support of this bill hearing, at this bill hearing, where the hearing testimony was so powerful that all of the committee members were impressed and said that they never seen this level of activism or such a notice like this and gain away. We were speaking on how much HBCUs matter, the importance of the funding, and bringing up the HBCUs to be compatible with the traditional white institutions. Morgan's president, President Wilson, testified as well, and he delivered a real powerful testimony, and he told them some facts that it takes HBCU on average 5 to 7 years to catch up for some of the small projects in which the traditional white institutions are on. So this is why this bill is really important, and we have to keep on pushing it. We got to push it out of the Taxation and Budget Committee and down inside to the Senate floor, then pass it over and ask and demand somebody in the House of Delegates to submit and cross-file this bill. I must say that we are getting some great support of some people committing from the Legislative Black Caucus, and I have a whole support list of senators and delegates down in Annapolis who are in support of the SB Bill 712. I had that list circulating, and we are asking everybody to call your local legislators down in Annapolis and ask them where they stand on the bill SB 712.
You know, Brother DeJuan, I'm glad to hear that this type of momentum has been surrounded around this issue. But I'm wondering, at this point, You know, there's a big HBCU night in Annapolis that's going to be happening on March the 21st. Is this type of support going to be enough to push and convince the committee the state lawmakers to really look deeper into this, or is it just a lot of fanfare, and then at the end of the day, deals are going to be made behind closed doors, and then again, black students are going to be disappointed?
That's a strong possibility, and I'm glad you brought up that point. But I'll also have to add that with the momentum that we are having right now in such a short turnaround time, we're getting commitments from legislators that normally we haven't heard them make stands on issues, and they don't have nothing to do with it. So I can say that we're, with the public support that we have right now and coming up with our election year in 2018, people have to make a stand on these issues. And it is up to the community to charge up their elected officials and also tap inside community organizations and some of our partners and neighboring counties across the state to make that demand. If we're not bringing this out to the forefront and putting that public pressure on, then yes, the deals will be made. And if those deals are made behind closed doors, we are entitled to the public record of who voted against this historical bill that's actually telling us that you want to maintain a Jim Crow-like system. Then we need to make sure that they don't have a seat again next year.
You know what, Dewan? You know, I appreciate you saying that 2018 is definitely around the corner, brother. And this is going to be very significant. This issue is going to be very significant as being part of the larger conversation. So what would you like the community to do at this point? What's the next step?
The next step, one step is identifying who your local officials are down in Annapolis. Then make email, phone call, fax them, and ask them to demand this bill to be moved out the Budget and Taxation Committee down in the Senate. The next step is I will ask you to ask your local representative, where do they stand on SB 712? Then the next one, it will be show your presence down in Annapolis on March the 21st from 6 to 8 p.m. where we have an HBCU night in Annapolis. The rally will be something real powerful, big, and we have a few commitments already from down from city leadership that's been a part of it as well. So the city and the state leadership, some local, some national organizations talking about they want to make a presence down in Annapolis. So this would be really big, and we need all the support. Even if you're not a HBCU student or alumni, I believe this is an issue that impacts our entire community across the city and across the state as well. We got to bring in our neighbors from different counties as well.
Right.
Everybody get on board this issue.
That's what I'm talking about. Dewan Patterson, student leader. He's an alumni of Bowie State University. Give us the latest developments and a little bit of the update of this HBCU Matters initiative. Look, family, Bowie, Morgan, Coppin, University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, these are the four big HBCUs in the state that need our support and funding, and we're going to continue to bring you the latest about what's been happening, whether it's locally, and you all heard about what's been happening nationally. But we want to give a big, big shout out to President David Wilson of Morgan State University for being there on the day of this past Tuesday down in Annapolis to make that testimony. And to more importantly, to stand strong in the face of so many opponents that are against black students getting the proper funding and the resources. So, Dewan, thank you, brother, for your continued service and stance. Rashad and all of those that stand with you. And again, we want to bring you back on, brother, to keep us updated about this whole situation.
Appreciate it. Much blessing and peace, brother.
All right, brother. Thank you. Man, we got to keep you updated on that, family. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation. I'm telling you, we got so much we want to cover tonight. So we're going to come back with some more of Listen Up. Stay tuned. A whole lot more on in just a few moments. Just tune in to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org, the voice of the community. We'll be right back. Call shots while you call off. Never take a summer or fall off. When you stay that committed to it, you just fall down and never fall off. So last night took an L, but tonight I bounce back. Wake up every morning, by the night I count stacks. Knew that I'm real when I hit it, bounce back. You ain't getting checks. Last night.
took a L, but tonight I bounce back. Boy, I've been broke as hell, cash the check and bounce back. D-Town LAX, every week I bounce back. If you a real one, then you know how to bounce back.
Bounce back, bounce, bounce, bounce back, bounce, 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 bounce. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Is you a real one?
Peace and welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. We're going to keep the conversation moving because we definitely got to bring you up to date about another issue that is brewing and that has started a lot of conversation, especially here on the campus of Morgan State University. If you did not know, they just had a Black Business Expo for student entrepreneurs just a couple of days ago here at Morgan State University. Heard it was a powerful, powerful exhibition of young entrepreneurs that are deciding to put out their own products and services for the growth and development of the community. Well, PNC Bank has been looking at this whole landscape of entrepreneurship and has decided to really be a part of partnering here at Morgan State University to make sure that those student entrepreneurs are truly supported in all of their efforts and work. And to give us some insight about this, we have Ramsey Harris of PNC Bank as we are talking about embracing the entrepreneur in you. Peace and blessings, Brother Ramsey. Thank you for being on.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, Brother Ramsey, let's talk a little bit about this entrepreneur piece, because a lot of times people tend to think that you should, quote unquote, wait until you finish school, then you start your own business. But it looks like that tide or that undercurrent is changing.
Sure, it should. You know, I believe that Baltimore has just a phenomenal spirit of entrepreneurship. And since you're talking about the power of HBCUs, what better institution to help breed some of our best and our brightest, some of our future, just very much exponentially powerful business owners here in this city and abroad. Starting while you're in school, interning or getting a feel for what it really takes to be an entrepreneur and what the ins and outs of running your own business looks like. Why wait until you graduate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting started while you're in college and understanding that the fundamentals and the basic of entrepreneurship, I think, would serve any aspiring entrepreneur well, particularly those that are maybe relatively in the school of business or have some type of degree that's focused on some type of business administration or you know, anything in that field.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the role that PNC Bank is going to be playing in this whole process, because PNC Bank, I know that there's Bank of America. There are a lot of banks that young entrepreneurs, especially Black young entrepreneurs, can go to. So why is PNC making this investment, and why should Black youth, young Black entrepreneurs become members of your bank?
Well, we're making an investment in the entire small business community because we believe in the small business community. The business community in a city like Baltimore really could be and is, in my opinion, the lifeblood of our economy. Small businesses, startups, mid-size, et cetera, they really create the job sustainability that we need in this community.
Yeah.
I don't want to go off on a political tangent or a political piece of that, but ultimately, we're vested in supporting the Baltimore community as it relates to entrepreneurship, because we believe that that's really where the influx of growth and opportunity can be breeded, and we want to be a part of it. We're celebrating our 10th year here in this market. We acquired a few banks back in 2007. In 2017, what we've been able to accomplish in 10 years, we're really proud of, but we know that there's so much more work to be done. And the reality of the matter is, with the way that the economy is going and the way that the job market is going, we want to do our part in helping those folks out there that are saying, you know what, I just want to be my own boss. I'm going to go in business for myself. I've got this great idea. I've got this great vision. We want to kind of be the educational institution, finance institution, to help you to understand the fundamentals of what that means.
Yeah.
How you start a business, how you develop a business plan, how does credit play into being an entrepreneur? So we're not just interested in gaining as many customers as we can. We're interested in educating so that our customers can come back and say, you know what, I'm loyal to PNC because PNC not only gave me my start, but they gave me the information that I needed to be well positioned and well informed on how to be an entrepreneur that can enjoy longevity in my business enterprise, and not just, you know, as statistics tell us, you know, business owners that don't have the necessary resources and the tools and the education that they need start and stop in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
So we kind of want to kill that sacred cow, and it's personal for me. It's business, but it's personal for me because I was born and raised here, and I was raised by an entrepreneur. My grandfather ran multiple business enterprises, was a pastor of a church, raised me, my brother, my aunts and uncles, and multiple families in the community, all in the day's work. So
wow.
I'm proud about it. It's one of the things that's near and dear to my heart. And as an executive at the bank in our business banking department, I'm proactively rolling up my sleeves to not just help the small business community, but I have a tunnel vision focus, if you will, a laser focus on helping minority and women business enterprises.
You know what, Ramsey, this sounds like an incredible opportunity for a lot of young entrepreneurs. Couple of questions, though. One is, what is the lifespan of a business nowadays? Because given technology, given the current marketplace, if you have a young person or a college student that's looking to open up to start a business, what kind of challenges would they have to face in doing that?
Startup capital is number one. Where are you going to get the money to
can PNC give you some money for that, brother?
Well, we're working to figure out how we can do that. You know, you can't generalize entrepreneurship,
no,
right? You know,
right.
There are various industries, there are various challenges.
Sure.
There are various nuances that go into starting a business, running a business. There are certain favorable industries nowadays in this economy, and there are certain less favorable. Let me just give you an example of what I mean by that. If I decide that I'm going to come up with the best chicken and waffles in the city, understand that I've got competition already. There are restaurants out there. There are soul food cafes. There are establishments that specialize in saying, hey, I've got the best soul food dish. So if automatically, if I'm going into the restaurant business, if I'm going into the retail food business, I better have something that's going to differentiate me from my competition, because there are a lot of great brothers and sisters out there that are already doing it, and they do it well.
Competitive advantage.
And it's very much a competitive advantage. So you got to know what you're getting into, and you got to understand what your competition is, and you've got to have, again, the educational piece of what resources are out there, or what resources would I need to tap into to be successful. And I don't advise young entrepreneurs to jump into entrepreneurship just because they necessarily want to be their own boss, but you got to have a passion for it. It's a hustle. It's a grind.
Oh, I know.
And you've got to have what I call that differentiating factor. What's going to separate you from your competition at the end of the day?
Brother Ramsey, how can folks get more information? I know we got a lot of young entrepreneurs listening tonight. So how can folks get more information? Do they get in touch with you?
Sure.
Or how can we do
reach
that?
Out to me via email, ramsey.harris@pnc.com, ramsey.harris@pnc.com. And I'd be happy to share with you some of the resources we have available, some of the educational components we have available, some of the solutions and some of the services we have available for aspiring entrepreneurs at PNC Bank.
I'm really happy, Brother Ramsey, that PNC is making this investment. but more so you helping young entrepreneurs from the start to finish.
Sure.
And that's very critical, because a lot of times when we see banks nowadays, it's like we're coming in on the back end, it's waiting to see, okay, let's see what type of revenue you produce first, and then we start to kind of make our investment into you. Whereas for you guys, it seems like there is that you're making that investment very early on without even looking at the back
yeah.
end.
Well, here's the fundamental piece of it.
Yeah.
Credit is the brick and mortar, the foundation of any entrepreneurial establishment, any enterprise. Our young entrepreneurs, I find when I'm sitting down with them and having conversations about where they want to go and what they want to do, the main piece is they don't understand how credit works.
Sure.
So how can you expect a young aspiring entrepreneur to after a few years come back and visit, let's see where you are and how much revenue you've generated. Well, if they don't understand how credit can help them get there or how credit can hinder them from getting there, that's a problem right there. We're not setting them up to succeed. We're setting them up to fail, because they've got to have the understanding fundamentally of how my personal credit, how I've handled my personal credit, how my parents have handled their personal credit, how investors or what have you, partners have handled their personal credit, will make a positive or negative impact on me having the sustainability and the longevity to be around for 2 and 3 years
yeah.
in my entrepreneurial endeavor. So there's a lot that goes into it. I know we got to wrap up, but we're passionate about it. I want to give a plug on Tuesday evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Your radio station here at Morgan State will be partnering with us at PNC, and we're going to be hosting a small business symposium at Terra Cafe, a client of PNC. I will give that shout out. I can do that. Brother Terrence, and great establishment there, and we're going to be right there in the heart of the community on the east side of Baltimore talking about all of these issues and more. We've got a distinguished panel of seasoned entrepreneurs and veterans in the business game, and so we encourage students, we encourage aspiring entrepreneurs, come on out and be with us again Tuesday the 14th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Terra Cafe there on 25th Street, I believe.
Yep.
And
St. Paul.
Absolutely. St. Paul, there it is.
Yep.
And come out and we'd be happy to explore your questions and help you to get some of those questions answered that you have if you're looking to jump into entrepreneurship.
That's what I'm talking about. Ramsey Harris, who is of PNC Bank, talking about embracing the entrepreneur. And you make sure you join us for our WEAA Community Conversation. Again, that's this Tuesday, March the 14th at 7 p.m. at Terra Cafe. And we look forward to hearing from you. And Brother Ramsey, thank you so much for being a part of our conversation.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Up next, on the other side, our new segment with Neera Muhammad, For Women, By Women. And you'll love to hear what she has to say. Stay tuned. That's coming up on the other side of Listen Up. Here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org. The voice of the community and the next generation.
Bo Jack, Ricky Waters better run that dope back. Boss, and I put that on my Maybach. 400,000, put you what you say. I'm a boss.
In the whole wide world, all my niggas in the whole wide world made the sun and make it all yours. Time for us, this shit is for us. All my niggas let the whole world know. Play the song and sing it on your terms. For us, this shit is for us. Try to come for us.
Peace and welcome back to Listen Up. Here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. It is now time for our new segment, For Women, By Women, as we have this special segment during Women's History Month. And we are now checking in with one of our ladies of Listen Up, Ms. Neera Muhammad. Good evening, Neera. How are you?
Good evening, Faraji. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Absolutely.
So we're kicking this segment off to talk about women's history. women, we have been going through a lot and doing so much, and we are just like leading and taking over the world. And I'm so excited to be a part of this segment. So I want to send a big shout out to all of the women that participated this Wednesday in International Women's History Day, and who boycotted and who didn't go to work, and for all those sisters who may have been arrested or any other things that may have happened to them, I'm praying over you, and I'm thinking about all of you women all over the world. And I would like to actually kick this segment off with something that I wrote, little old, I would say 15-year-old me. Mm-hmm. So this was inspired by Maya Angelou, so I'm going to go ahead and kick this. It's called Phenomenal Woman. Maya Angelou spoke of a phenomenal woman, but that phenomenal woman wasn't me. I'm a woman as strong and courageous as the beautiful Layla Ali. I can fight like a man and eat like a man, as said by Sojourner Truth. A phenomenal woman I am, who was raised well in her youth. I can flatten some hair and hook up a perm just like Madam C.J. Walker. This phenomenal woman can smack her lips and switch her hips and is known for being a talker. I'm the baddest chick like Trina, with curves in all the right places. A big flirt I am, not easily impressed. I've seen many different faces. I can buy what I want and buy what I need, all dependent from a man. This phenomenal woman has learned that on her own two feet, she must stand. Being a phenomenal woman takes a lot of work, but there's nothing a woman can't do. But it takes a lot of dedication, and to your heart, you must remain true. Love always, a phenomenal woman.
Love it.
Thank you. So that was the first time I've ever read a poem. Wow, I'm feeling like I just broke out my own like shell tonight. So that's what's up. So I would like to bring on a guest this evening who I think is a phenomenal woman. She is my professor. She's my professor for three classes, to be exact. So that says a lot in itself that she's phenomenal, because she's a professor here at Morgan State University, and she is the professor of three courses. And I will let you let her tell you a lot more about herself, because her credentials are long and I don't want to mess them up. So, Dr. Holland, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I am fine. I'm so happy to have you on this evening.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, and I enjoy having you as a student as well.
Oh, thank you. I would have been a much better student a couple semesters ago, but just never mind that. Never mind that.
So, fine.
So please, Dr. Holland, tell us about what you do, who you are. You're more than a professor, so we want to know all about you.
Okay, well, I'm originally from Havre de Grace, Maryland, and attended the University of Maryland in College Park, where at the time I majored in home economics education. And from a small child, I guess, I was always interested in doing things with my hands, being creative. I come from a family of women who are phenomenal, as you just described, who are hard workers, and I really feel that I got my work ethic from my family, my grandmothers, my mom, and, you know, all my aunties. So I just saw work and, you know, really put a lot into their family to help their families be strong and to be successful. And so they are my heroes that really helped me along the way, them as well as my sisters. And so I majored in home economics education. I taught in Prince George's County Public Schools for several years, and recently received my doctorate, and then most recently I have been elected as the president of the American Association of Family Consumer Sciences. And it's been many years since there has been a person of color in that position.
Wow.
So I see it as a great honor and a privilege, and you know, just looking forward to how I can make a difference in the association in that position.
That's amazing, Dr. Holland. I don't even know what else to say about that. So please tell us more about FACTS in general. What attracted you to FACTS? And for those who say, what is FACTS? What do you have to say to that?
Okay. So family and consumer sciences used to be known long ago, like many, many, many years ago, as home economics. And we pretty much have changed our name to be more adept and relevant to our society as it is, because oftentimes when you say home economics, people think of cooking and sewing.
Mm-hmm.
We are much more than cooking and sewing. We have a rich history. Our founder, Ellen Swallow Richards, was the first woman to graduate from MIT with a doctorate. And
yes.
So she was a scientist, an entrepreneur, a chemist, and If you ever visit the Museum of Industry in Baltimore City, mm-hmm. her name is there as a leading mathematician and engineer. So wow. when you think about facts, we really are steeped in science and math and engineering and all of that. So we pretty much, when I think about what is Family Consumer Sciences, we are an organization or a field of study that is very comprehensive mm-hmm. with helping people obtain lifetime skills. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do that through research and knowledge. We help people to make informed decisions so that their lives can be well and they can have an optimal quality of life. Because we know that everything that we go through is really impacting families, even mm-hmm. today, you know, whether it's finances or whether it's food and nutrition, whether it's how we decorate our homes, how we go into purchasing our homes, how we take care of our children, emotional security, all of those things impact the family. And so family and consumer sciences professionals help individuals to maneuver life, you know, with those skills that will help them to be successful.
Yes, ma'am. And to be honest, those are the things that attracted me to the facts major. I started off as an elementary education major, and I felt as though I wanted to do a little bit more than just teach. I wanted a degree that I felt was very colorful and that would allow me to better my community, because I love community activism. I love being a mom. I love being an educator. But what I wanted to know what more I could do. And under the facts umbrella, because it's so comprehensive and because we take so many different types of courses, I truly do believe that upon receiving my degree that I will be a human scientist and I will be fit to go out there and actually help people to make their lives better. And I'm not just speaking off of my own experiences, but I also have some of that educational piece to back it up. So that's what I love about facts.
Right. Yeah, I think you will do well.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Holland. So please, I know that World Facts Day coming up. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, World Home Economics
yes.
Day. So you might think, you know, the facts only exist in the U.S., and the answer is no.
It doesn't?
In every other country, it's called home economics, and we're the ones who have changed the name. So an organization called the International Federation of Home Economics, mm-hmm. which is over 100 years old, and it's actually a part of the U.N., they're supported by the UN and what they do around the whole notion of families. It's an international organization in which home economics is pretty much taught in almost every country in the world. And so in March, every year, March 21st, mm-hmm. they celebrate it as World Home Economics Day. And so they encourage home economists around the world to do activities that support families and their growth and their well-being. So I'm really excited because, Neera, as you know, our class,
yes.
Methods of Family Consumer Sciences, we're actually going to celebrate by having an event at the Student Center this Thursday from 4 to 6:30 p.m.
Yes.
And we're focusing on empowering people for healthy and sustainable lifestyles. So we're actually going to have four different themes that's going to be running throughout that time. One will be on fitness and health, you know, how do we remain healthy, how do we work out, you know. There's another one that's going to be on emotional wellness, and we know that people are stressed, you know, either
yep.
from jobs or families or relationships, and then, you know, what are some tools that we can give them to help them with stress, to help them learn to be calm and quiet and to maintain life in the midst of those things that life brings. The third one is going to be about healthy eating and, you know, how do we eat well to live well and how do we use food to be our medicine so mm-hmm. that we, you know, we have a long life. And then the last one, which is also important, is financial wellness. You know, what do we need to do to maintain a budget, to use critical skills so that we're not in debt, we're not being burdened by that, but to really know how to manage our money. So we're going to have tables and activities and resources that people can come and make themselves available. And we're looking forward to it. So we think it's going to be a great event.
I'm looking forward to it. So you guys, please come through. That will be at the Student Center this Thursday between 4:30 and 6:30 p.m. My teacher is putting me to work. I will be working the stress table because I'm stressed. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be over there coloring. So come over there and color with me and smell some nice bath salts. And so we can help you guys unwind. Dr. Holland, please let us know how we can stay in contact with you, because we would love to stay in contact with you and have you on the show again. Or for anyone who may want to reach out to you who's interested in the facts major, please give us your information.
Okay. It's Jacqueline.Holland, H-O-L-L-A-N-D, at morgan.edu.
Thank you so much, Dr. Holland, for being on this evening. You kicked off my first segment for Women's History Month. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nira, and I'll see you next week.
I'll see you on Tuesday.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nira.
You're welcome. Does that mean I get an A? Just kidding, Dr. Holland. I'm totally a joke. Totally a joke.
All my niggas in the whole wild world made the sun and make it all yours. Time for us. This is
the Hollywood baby.
Picture.
Uh-huh.
Let's not even talk about it.
Let's go.
I see your jealousy as you are kings. You are kings. It's kind of sexy to me how you are.
Yep, when you hear that song, you know it's time for us to check in now to talk to our very own Hollywood Danny to give us the latest in entertainment and all of things that are related to Hollywood entertainment and movies and celebrities and things that just don't make sense. Danny, thank you so much. I know you got so much to talk about because a lot has been happening with our favorite black celebrities and whatnot.
Of course, of course. You know, I'm happy to be back. It's been a while. I feel like it's been ages.
Yes.
And you know. But the first thing I want to point out, I finally made it to a theater, you guys, and I saw Get Out. Listen, that movie, it was awesome. You know, it made 100 Rotten Tomatoes. You know, Rotten Tomatoes to me is like probably one of the most critical websites for Get Out to get 100, like within the first week. Actually, first couple of days of actually being out to me is just like outstanding for our community that we have black producers. Who was Jordan Peele? He did a great job on this movie.
Yeah, he wrote it directly.
You know, yep. I don't know if you're talking about your life, you know, experience, because you know you are married to a white woman, but I'm gonna let that go.
Now you're talking about Jordan Peele.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make it clear.
Oh yeah, Jordan Peele. You
not
know,
Faraji Muhammad.
Faraji Muhammad.
No, okay. So Jordan Peele, he wrote and directed this film.
Yes.
And it has gotten a lot of people talking.
Yeah, so it was also spoken up that he'll be doing a bunch of different movies like this. And hashtag, what is it, the word? Social Demons.
Social Demons.
Yes, that's the hashtag he used for it, Social Demons.
Wow.
Yeah, so basically, you know, the fear. So for this movie, I want to quote this correctly. Jordan Peele on the most terrifying horror story, which is being black in America. So this is a really good film. If you have not seen it, please make your way there. Take your friends of all colors and go see it. Listen, when I went to see it, I saw an interracial couple, and I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
I was like, because I stood up, stretched, turned around, so I was like, y'all watch this together. Y'all still together. Okay. All right, guys. That's great.
Was it a white woman and a black man?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to whisper, I'm like, are you stuck?
Right. You in that sunken place.
You need an escape. Let me go be flat. You know, start just flashing lights in his face. You know, you run.
Nice.
Get out.
Nice.
Another thing I wanted to point out was one of my favorite rappers, Chance the Rapper. Yeah. I wanted to congratulate him on his Grammy since I haven't been on since then. I just want to congratulate him. He was nominated for, I want to make sure I get this correct.
It has to be. I can tell you, best rap album of the year.
So 8 nominations and he won 3 of them.
Yeah.
So he won Best New Artist, Best Rap Album, and then Best Rap Performance.
Okay.
So congrats to you, Chance the Rapper.
But he did something. I've read that.
Also, he did donate 10 $10,000 to Chicago.
With
no, $10,000. What is it?
It was. I'm getting
my numbers. $1 billion. That's my bad. $1 billion. My bad. $1 million. You know what? Either way, it's a lot of money. You donated to Chicago public schools. And to me, that's really important that a lot of these rappers, you know, they're talking about they got this, that, and the third. He doesn't even talk about the money he has, but he donates it. Like, when Chance the Rapper raps, it's about his experience and his beliefs and his downfalls and ups and downs. It's never about his money. But when it comes to it, his money is there to donate back to his community.
Right.
So shout out to him for giving to Chicago Public Schools. This is why Chance the Rapper is one of my top fave rappers.
I think so. Do you think that other hip-hop artists will follow in his suit?
I'm hoping that they do, but you know, a lot of them is all talk. Like, yeah. It's really a lot of all talk. You know, since he's not signed to any record label, so you know, his money's really his money.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. Chance, if you're listening tonight, brother, come to Baltimore. You may not be from Baltimore, but we need your help with this school deficit here.
Follow me back on Twitter.
Come on, man. Come on. Tell Jay that you want us. Come on, man. Because people here in this city, boy. All right. Yeah. Anything else then?
No, I think that's about my time. I wish, you know, I really actually, if I can make a quick comment about this whole Nicki and Remy Ma beef. I just want to throw this out there real quick. It's childish. It's been childish since day one. I don't know what started it. They said it was I don't know who started it. Because they're saying it's either Remy started it with the song she did with Fresh something. The song, what is, you know, I don't even, wait a minute. And then they're saying Nicki's did it in the song with Gucci Mane, which is Make Love. And I'm just like, neither song, like, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
But Remy, don't shoot me, but how hurt were your feelings to make a 7-minute rap diss?
Okay,
I'm going to just leave it at
just,
that.
It's called a career ender. That's what we call them. It's a non-starter.
And then came back with another 5-minute one. Then came back. It's okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, Nicki came back with no frauds, and it was just not good.
She made a rap diss to Nicki. Nicki made a song that'll be continuously played.
I don't know.
That's just my comments on it.
All right, Hollywood Danny, thank you so much for your entertainment report.
Thanks for having me.
And we want to, hopefully you'll keep us up to date on some other things, because I know Black Hollywood and Black Twitter are always talking.
Sure, I bet you I have something next week. I just might, you know, we get a new beef every month. We in March now. We in March. Let's see who's coming up next.
Nice,
right? Because first, you know, it was Chris and Soulja, Remy and
Nicki.
Oh,
my gosh.
Who's next?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, up next, the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report. Stay tuned. Let's listen up here on social, here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. All right, now it's time for the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report, where we tell you about activities and events that you definitely want to make your way to being a part of. And tonight we got something very, very special. If you have not gone to the theater in a long time, I would highly, 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 highly encourage you to make your way to Single Carrot Theater either tonight or tomorrow to see the fantastic one-man show called The Bitter Game. Here to talk to us is the writer, producer, and the actor, the star of The Bitter Game, Brother Keith Wallace, to talk to us about this powerful production. Peace and blessings, Keith. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's talk about this first and foremost. With a title like The Bitter Game, people may be wondering, what is this truly all about? Talk to us about this one-man show that you have wrote and directed and you star in, brother.
Oh, absolutely, man. So the play itself is kind of my attempt to continue to raise visibility and awareness and to continue the conversation around police sanctioned violence in this country, the targeted and deliberate attack on communities of color across this country. And so in the play itself, I was really focusing as I was working on creating the play of exploring the themes of police agency and how police community relations in this country are played out, and how there's a system in place, systems in place that keep communities of color kind of disenfranchised and in fear, constant fear of the police, and then also the vicarious trauma that's experienced, you know, across communities of color. In the time when we're living, and we're seeing in the news media so many police murders and the assault on the Black community, what are those ripple effects across the community based off of cops killing people of color with impunity in this country and these murder cases going unjustified? And so so this play was in many ways my attempt to start a conversation or continue the conversation around that topic.
And you know what, Brother Keith Wayne, when I saw this play last night, brother, I mean, I was really touched because there was so much depth that you brought to the material and to the issue, because you really brought a sense of humanity around this issue, which I think is lost. I mean, after we've seen so much video footage and news footage of death and destruction, I think that it kind of makes us cold, or, you know, we lose a sense of human sensitivity to it. Absolutely. Was that important for you to convey in this production, brother?
I mean, I appreciate you saying that, because that was probably, if not the paramount or main goal of the piece, was to humanize this experience in a way that people who live it and who know it in a visceral way can see their experience reflected on stage, but people who don't know it in that experiential kind of way can then understand what it means to have this experience as a person of color in this country, and then create inroads and pathways for empathy and conversation around it. And so it's like you said, I mean, there's so much. I mean, I think it's a catch-22, right? Because we now live in an age of social media where you can share media and content across the internet instantaneously. And so we have citizen surveillance that now, in some of these cases, might be the only fighting chance of getting justice in these cases. And we can share it, and we can see it, and we can consume it. And so it raises the visibility about it. But at the same time, we're inundated with it every day. And so when you see, when it's an onslaught of this kind of information coming at you, it is easy to detach and be desensitized and kind of lose the human connection, right?
Yeah.
It's like, there was a quote that somebody at one of the talkbacks quoted. He said that, I don't know where he got it from, but one death is a tragedy, and a thousand deaths is a statistic, right?
Right.
But even in that 1,000 deaths, those people still have families, lives, an entire village of people, a community of people who are rocked and affected by their death. And so my attempt with this play was to humanize that experience in a way that we can't, like, we all become complicit in this character's story and his ultimate demise, because we're sitting by idly oftentimes and not doing anything because we are immobilized, we are desensitized because of the onslaught of this kind of content. And so, you know, with this play, I'm trying to, I really want people to be mobilized and galvanized to action.
Yeah.
And to not just sit by passively.
And I have to say, Brother Keith, I mean, to do a one-man show is certainly a challenge on its own, but then to do a one-man show and to do the way you did it with three different characters, brother, that is also a challenge upon a challenge upon a challenge. So, you know, this is a very ambitious production, but it's a very powerful production. We got a few moments left. Talk to us. You got a show tonight at 9:30, and then you have another show tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yeah. So two more shows here in Baltimore at Single Carriage Theater. A show tonight at 9:00. So if you're listening and you're driving around in your area, you can get down. You still got time to get a ticket at the door. And then tomorrow night at 7:30. And they have a whole program. They have a whole festival going on for the rest of the month with a couple of shows focusing on different social justice issues. So you can check out their website, Single Carriage Theater. It's called the Undercurrent Festival. And so they got some good stuff going on. So I would encourage everybody listening tonight to check it out and see what they have going on.
Keith Wallace, thank you so much, brother, for checking in for the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report. Your show, The Bitter Game, now being seen at Single Carriage Theater. Family, make your way out there either tonight for the 9:00 show or tomorrow for the 7:00 show, 7:30 show. And I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. Keith, thank you so much, brother. Keep up the great work, and we look forward to hearing some about you and other great productions.
Thank you, Brother Keith.
Absolutely. All right, family, that's going to do it for us tonight. Power-packed show tonight. I'm so, so excited and very happy that we had a chance to have these wonderful conversations. I want to thank DeJuan Patterson, Ramsey Harris. I want to thank Dr. Holland for our new segment, For Women, By Women, By Ladies of Listen Up member, and who is the founder of I Call Her Queen, Neera Muhammad. And we want to thank Hollywood Danny, and certainly want to thank Keith Wallace. As always, I want to thank my powerful production team, Danny, Aaliyah, Alex, Mikkel, Mieka, my super producer, Iori, and I want to thank our engineer, Andre, for making it sound so good. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right, while being yourself in the process. Next week, we're going to have another great, powerful show, and make sure that y'all stay tuned, because up next is the Duchess with that cool jazz for your Friday night, taking you all the way through, and then, of course, Strictly Hip Hop at that midnight hour. So a whole lot more is still coming at you here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Make sure you hit us up on our social media page, Listen Up with Faraji Muhammad, and you can follow me at Faraji, F-A-R-A-J-I-I, on all social media. I look forward to talking to you next week, family. Peace. Chanel croc back, they ain't even out with the gold chains, Himalayan broken.